Okay. Well, just do maybe a little bit of a check-in, just to see where you're at right now. And in terms of the readings too, are you up to date, or you still have some catching up to do?
Up to date.
I still have to finish reading step 15. I started to go into it and decided that I kind of wanted to go over the last two a little bit more before I moved on. So, yeah. Still working on those.
I'm also working my way through 15.
Yeah, it's a big one. Another
It's a
one.
big one.
Yeah. Good. So you do have more time this week. We're going to do like a little reading week to do a little bit catch up and even to go back around. So you can look through some of the other ones and just kind of let your eyes fall on whatever is, as they say, whatever your eyes fall on is truth for you. So not necessarily to read through everything again, but just have a glance through it and you'll just pick up, you'll start we creating your own weave and picking up those little pieces. And a lot of what is in step 15 is about becoming the witness. So I just thought we'd touch on that a little bit tonight. The witness is a really important piece in peace. It is the way of the peaceful warrior, and also a way for you to participate in life in such a way that you don't get smacked around by it, so to speak, and have shrapnel landing on your lap all the time. So you can become you begin to use your vision, your ability as a seer, to see the invisible realms and see what is really happening. And simply in being that witness, you become a channel to Akasha, to above, whatever you want to call it. And anything that you're seeing, like an injustice, is being recorded. And orders will be sent out by Akasha and the higher beings to take care of it. You don't need to get involved. And of course, there are some situations, somebody's in danger or something, of course, you're going to respond. So this is not an absolute. But those times when, you can either be personally kind of accosted by someone, or you're witnessing a conversation, and you can see somebody throwing arrows at somebody else. This happens. In shamanism, we call it virotes, and they're usually poison arrows from other shamans. However, in Western society, in all societies, people are continually throwing their shit at other people, like monkeys. So, learning to be the witness is a way to just stay out of the crossfire and out of the way of people throwing stuff at you as well. So, I'm just going to ask you if you have some experience with witnessing, if something has come up this week where you can see where that would apply, whatever you want to explore here around the witness. Or questions about it. Well, just maybe just back up a bit too, because we also were talking about being the explorer, yes? And the explorer is sort of the basis, and one cannot be a discoverer until they've been an explorer. And then the discoverer moves on to being a witness, and then the witness moves on to the art of tracking. which we will get into in a couple of weeks. So really what we're talking about here is the whole process of the vision, of the ability to utilize the vision. So we start with looking, and then seeing, and then observing, sorry, noticing, and then observing, and then witnessing. So it's like a five-step program. You see something, then you look at it, and then you notice. And then you sort of sit back, because in the noticing, you want to be very aware. That's where the judge steps in. So when you feel that judge step in, just sit back, you know, exhale it out. Nothing wrong with the judge, but it can get you in a lot of trouble. So, and then you just step back into observing. And then even just another inch back in your being, you know, you don't have to physically move. And just settle into the witness. And you may still, you know, you'll have emotional response sometimes. If you see something, you see an accident, you're a witness to it, and you're still affected by if there's a gruesome aspect or such. But the reason why witnesses are called forth in such cases is because they may have seen something that nobody else saw. And that is exactly what the role of a witness is. And the elders say we put our minds together as one, and we put something in the center, and we all sit around, and everybody says what they see from their place. And it can be completely different. Even if it's just a raisin in the center, everybody's going to have a different view of that raisin. And when we put our minds together, then we get a better sense of the whole. So that's also a part of witnessing.
Mm-hmm. I've been witnessing a lot, or I've been noticing a lot of almost like transference with people, like in groups. Mm-hmm. So someone, it's almost like there's one thing that's being passed along, whether it's, yeah, so I've just been noticing that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're using the word noticing. You corrected yourself from the witness to noticing. Mm-hmm. How does that come about that you chose the noticing instead of the witnessing? Can you differentiate those?
The noticing, it seemed more fleeting. Like, yeah.
Okay, good. Got it. Yeah, and that's a good place to start. It's just sort of, whoa, what was that? You know, I saw that, like something in the corner of your eye, and you noticed it. You noted it without judging it, sounds like. Mm-hmm. Geez, what was that?
Yeah.
And, you know, Marie, as you said earlier about when the truth comes out, it can be shocking. Not only your personal truths, but what's actually going on out there in the 95%, right? We only perceive 5% of the visible realm, or of the realm, I should say, is visible. The other 95% is in the invisible. And that's what's running the place. So we want to be able to play and participate. And in doing so, you know, make a difference. But one has to be able to see into the invisible realms. And that is what our good friend, you know, Buffalo Bob, he always says on his bottom of his emails, the artist's responsibility is to make the invisible visible. And that doesn't mean put it all on paper or some kind of form of art. It just means to acknowledge it. And as we've said, you're all becoming, you know, artists, artisans. You're learning the art of integration, the art of non-duality, the art of non-interference, and the art of the witness. So the noticing is a good place to start. And just keep going, you know, a little longer. if you can, like stay with it just a bit longer, watch it, and, you know, then move into the observer and then see, you know, just feel yourself. You'll have your own way of knowing. So the noticing is still kind of for you. You're getting it. And as you step further back, observer and witness, you become that kind of that connection between all that is and what is. And I mean, I had this occurrence not too long ago about needs. I was at a women's peer group, an entrepreneur's peer group, and people were talking about the challenges they were having with starting a new business. And the one woman was speaking about her challenges, and the woman happened to be sitting quite like just across from her on the couch. The other was on the floor, and it was all good intention. Of course, we know what good intention is too. And she started going, well, maybe you need to do this. Maybe you need to do that. You need to do, you need. I mean, she must've done six or seven in a row. And I was sitting there and I saw these needles flying. Flying at the girl on the floor, and she just sat there. She didn't seem to really be affected by it, but it brought forth the truth about you know, when we say that to each other, and also about need itself, which you're learning also in step 15. We start dissecting need a little bit, and you know, wishing it well on its way out, basically. So that kind of thing. And then I, you know, just sat with it for a bit, even I think a day or two. And then I realized what would happen, that I had witnessed it. And in doing so, and just kind of contemplating it for a while, it was uploaded basically, you know, to the cloud, as people talk about it now, right? So that information was uploaded. And then I mean, all I have to do with it is tell you about it, the story. It has nothing to do with me. And I can just mind my own business. And know that it's being taken care of. So there's a lot of peace in that, yeah? Not interfering, not trying to be the hero, or saying, hey, I know what needs are all about, let me tell you about it. You know, just witnessing.
It's nice. That feels nice. Yeah, I guess my living situation is pretty interesting. I really get to I think more in the beginning, it felt more like witnessing the family dynamics. I've always really liked watching people. And I am quite fascinated actually with human nature or tendencies. And so I guess the relationships that I find myself kind of, I think, jumping back and forth between witnessing and maybe more observing, is the relationship between the mother, or I should say, I guess, the grandmother and her daughter, and kind of the the pointing of fingers, the projections of, well, you're like this, and, you know, three fingers pointing back. And I guess the more involved I become in the setting, though, I think it becomes a bit harder for me to remain the witness, and I really have to sometimes pull myself back to not get involved, because some of the things that may be discussed affect me or have affected me. And so having been here for a while, there might be certain things that I've gotten an opinion of. But it's kind of neat. There was this one night in particular that there was quite a almost intense argument between these two women, and I could really see certain aspects of it very clearly, and I was able to just sit back and watch. And I enjoy doing that. I like that. I like not having to put my two cents in. I get stressed out when I feel like I have to put my two cents in, actually. I like to just watch. So,
Well,
yeah.
there you want to find the balance too. Now, these are two adult people, or older people, not a young child
Yeah,
that we're
no,
talking
they're
about.
older.
Okay. You know,
Yeah.
in either case, sometimes, especially when you're living with people and you don't even know them that well, it just really hurts. You know, it hurts your feelings to see people, pointing fingers at people. Don't point that thing at me, right? Like, it's a big deal pointing a finger at somebody. And it hurts your feelings is a real thing. You know, there's a myriad of feelings, and they feel, duh, right? And so sometimes to just sit and watch somebody, maligning and molesting, really molesting another person with their words and their opinions, it really hurts. And quite often that is when the judge will pop up. Or opinions, in a sense, and that's where their opinions are coming from. They're feeling hurt. Yeah. So the judge is like the ego. It's there to protect you based on what it thinks should go on. But again, all these things are kind of confused, right? Everything's still coming into wholeness. The world's still coming back together again. So just know that on one hand that. And there's compassion in that for those people. So here's this person flapping off opinions, and you can go, wow, you must really be hurting. Not in a pity way or anything, right? But just sort of like, well, not must, but perhaps you are feel your feelings are hurt by something, probably in the past, right? Especially if it's a familial relationship, it's just an ongoing thing. Now, the other piece for you specifically is when do you activate your voice? It's one thing to, okay, oh, well, this is great. I'm being told that what I'm doing is perfect. I just keep my nose out of everything. And
Yeah, I know. There's
yeah.
always more to
Yeah, I'm getting
it,
catchy here.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, I think in a situation like that, it's a good thing I didn't pop in, because the two women were handling themselves really well, and I know them well enough to trust that they can work it out together without any input from me. Don't know. I don't know. I tend to hold myself back a lot, so sometimes it's, this is kind of what's been coming up for this past week. For me, one of the things is, because of my tendency to analyze a lot of what's happening, or always trying to be one step ahead of life so I can figure everything out before it happens, so I'm ready for it, I really prevent myself from being authentic. And so it makes it difficult for me sometimes to be able to read when to step in and when not to, because I'm not always in the moment then when I'm doing that. So,
Perfect. Yeah.
yeah. So that's been kind of something I've been thinking about, and I've been really working a lot this week on trying to really contain myself in the present moment. So I can kind of meet the requirements of
Yes.
each moment.
Brilliant,
Yeah.
brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. You need to be in alignment before you can be in alignment.
Yeah.
So being
Yeah.
in your body, present in the moment. And that means like
Exactly.
that's a saying, right? Sorry, just yeah. But it also means like there's timelines, right? There's all different timelines going on, and we can get caught up in a completely different timeline and wonder why we can't function with what's right in front of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we need to be, you know, in the timeline we're in.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's a really big one for me. I tend to jump all over the place. But I'm really discovering that I don't know, I guess I've like had this strong desire for freedom, and so that somewhere got this idea that boundaries are maybe limiting, and I'm really discovering the safety of boundaries and just the total relief, like thank God. I can be here in this moment, like, because if I went anywhere else right now, I would be very uncomfortable. It's safe here and contained, and I feel like I can rest when I'm here in this moment.
Nice.
So, I think when I can, the more I get stronger in being able to keep myself here, the stronger I'll become in being able to act, you know, on a dime for whatever the moment needs, or to be able to read it well enough to see if I need to actually make myself heard or stay back. Yeah.
Yeah, you really hit it there that there's nothing wrong with your voice, and certainly not anything you have to say, but you're not been in the in you've not been there. So you sit back and watch, and you're like traveling off somewhere in your head. You know, you're still watching, but yeah. So that coming into alignment, perfect, and then you will know.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
Yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. And that brings us to about, you know, we've talked really about witnessing other people, but of course the witness witnesses the self as well, which is what you're doing. And you can witness yourself in a similar way that you go, wow, I didn't know I was whacking myself over the head. That hurts. Why am I doing that? So, yeah. And I think Akasha gets a kick out of those.
Yeah, I feel like so much of it is about just bringing it back to the moment over and over and over. I mean, that's for me, that's where a lot of the real work lies.
So that's actually so the second part of step 15 is presence.
Cool. I haven't gotten that far yet, so.
And then presence is a good way to check in. There's a little poem at the end about, you know, when I'm in the presence of, I know I'm in the presence of my child when there is something for me to learn. I know I'm in the presence of my elder when there is something for me to teach. And I know I'm in the presence of the adult when I can see both ways. And I know I'm in the presence of the adolescent when I am not present.
Nice.
So
I
it is.
like looking at it that way.
It's very simple, and
Yeah.
every one of them has their role. We talk a lot about the adolescent, and you know, the first things that was said in the outline of this course is The adolescent is a very valuable member of any society when in right place.
Yeah.
And one of the right places is when you do find yourself maybe going in too deep in the place of the adult, which gives birth and, you know, give birth mother, give life father. It's, you know, it's a big deal. So if you don't feel you're really up for it, you can step back into the place of the adolescent, which is the place of standing in your power, woman, stand in your power, man. So sometimes you want to get a recharge, you go back into the adolescent, just, you know, a little bit, just even 5 minutes, and then come back out and see, am I ready to give life? Yeah, because you want to always give life your best.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's hard to do that when I, when I haven't recharged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, mm-hmm. That's kind of another thing that's been coming up for me is recognizing energy leaks and how to contain it and nourish oneself before continuing on. And the boundaries has a lot to do with that too. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Any other little tidbits to munch on? Places of exploration. Yeah, we have time tonight, but also if we feel like we're all just nicely topped up, we can, you know, call it a day. So maybe just do one more sort of last call if there's anything that would like to come forth. No, we're all good?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Okay. Again, we're just taking a little bit of some time this week to go over all the teachings that are in the written material and all the teachings that are coming through you as well. There's a mapping exercise in step 15 and, of course, a few more videos and encouragement to view. There's one there. Or two even, and then to go back, if you can, to the tidal wave video and see if you can, you know, become, it's sort of like training to become the witness, to be able to witness something without being knocked over by it. So just play with those for the week, and good luck. And, oh, yeah, so we'll touch in again next Sunday.